World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, first of all, you know this about me. I ain't no doom and gloomer. My mom, I'd always often hear my mom talking to people about me as I was growing up, you know, got into my teenage years and into my early college years and all that. She always called me, she said, he is just a cockeyed optimist. Just a cockeyed optimist. And I don't know what cockeyed mean, but I think cockeyed means kind of kooky, kind of different, right? If somebody's cockeyed, it's not straight. And it was always my whole life, I've been a cockeyed optimist. We were either winning or getting ready to win. We were either picking off a pass or getting ready to scoop up a fumble or something good was getting ready to happen. I have always lived my life that way. And I don't care what you do, you cannot beat that out of me. So I'm here to tell you again today, it looks really bad, doesn't it? I mean, you look at what's going on, it looks really bad, but I'm going to tell you, man, there is something really, really good coming behind it. We're going to have to go through some of this stuff that we're going on. Roger just mentioned to me in the pre-show, they're having riots over in Great Britain. And look what's going on, friends. The awakening that's going on in the United States of America just regarding the border. Now, if we really, really could get to the bottom of it. Hey, Spencer, I'm sorry. It's the way my brain works. Spencer, get that video ready for me. It says number four. No, the song lyric, number five. Get number five ready for me. More and more people are beginning to waken up. And you certainly know this, and I know this. Are you looking at me, folks? There is no way, no way Joe Biden won there's no way he won the 2020 election. No way. And isn't it amazing that now here we are 4 years out and another election coming up. And now they're beginning to admit, yeah, you know, it was rigged here. And yeah, it was. Yeah, they didn't count all the ballots here. And yeah, these ballots were stuffed. Yeah, yeah. It's taken 4 years. And what they're counting on is that we forget. We sweep it under the rug. We forget. Here's a new election. And now Camel Toes went from being this cackling broad to the smartest woman that ever was. And they give us choices of Trump. And I mean, it's really pretty, huh? It's really pretty amazing, the times in which we live. And the reason, again, I always double back or circle back to the same thing. The reason that we are in the mess that we're in is because why? The salt has lost its savor. It has become good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of the men. Where is the American church in regards to the Olympics? In regards that a man masquerading as a woman is hitting women in the face, but where's the church on that? Now, let me ask yourself very simply, is that not something the church ought to be involved in? You say, Coach, well, that doesn't have anything to do with salvation. No, it doesn't. But it has to do with everything created in the image of God, man and woman created in the image of God. It is at the heart of what the problem is, right? Men aren't men, women aren't women. Homosex, bisex, trisex, no sex, intersex, that sex. It's everywhere. And the only antidote to any of it is truth. And where does the truth rest? The truth rests in the body of Christ. And we see, that's the thing that drives me most. Okay. I've never been a pastor. And I come here a lot and I criticize them. I've never been one. But I want to say to those of you out there who are pastors, have you ever been a head football coach? Have you ever been out in the middle of a football game where it's punt or grunt time, where it's fourth and an inch, and you got to decide whether you're going to go for it at midfield or what are you going to do? Have you ever made that decision with 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 people looking over your shoulder? You ever made that one? Don't tell me I don't know what it's like. I know what it's like. And that's when leadership rises to the top. You say, I don't care who this offends. I got to tell the truth. I gotta be salt. Look, I can sugarcoat this, but I ain't gonna do it because I'm salt of the earth, not sugar of the earth. And we're in the mess that we're in for who knows why our Christian leadership is absolutely the most pathetic certainly in the history of America. Now, look, I know a lot of pastors. I love men of God. I love them. But what is going on that we can't, that the Southern Baptist Convention, they're not speaking up? Wouldn't the Southern Baptist Convention, wouldn't it be Christ-like, just asking, if the Southern Baptist Convention got involved with those who are trying to destroy the creation of man in the image of God, would that be is that secular? Is that only the Olympics, or is that a cultural issue that wallows all the way down into kindergarten, maybe even below that? And in kindergarten, they're teaching your child, your grandchild, they can be a boy, they can be a girl, they can be whatever they want to. And if that is not antithetic to everything Christian, where is the church? See, that's what frustrates me. That's what frustrates me. And I know there are probably some good Christian leaders that are out there. Where's Tony Perkins in the Family Research Council? Where's Don Wildman in the American Family Association? I'm just rattling off names. What's that guy's name? It's Focus on the Scamily. What's his name? Because he used to be James Dobson. They ran him out. Now the other guy's in there. Focus on the Scamily. All these big, where are all these? Oh my goodness, friends. Oh my goodness. So I get up, I wake up, had a great night's sleep, thanks for asking. But wake up this morning, man, I'm rip-roaring, ready to go, and can't for the life of me figure out why the church won't arise and push back. Why won't they do it? Is the church for domestic violence? Are we for that? So we watched a man smack a woman in the face. Nothing. You don't hear anything from the libs. You don't hear anything from the women's movement. You don't hear anything back. Act like it didn't happen. And promotion, destroy. See, it may not bother you because you're an adult and you can think clearly to a degree. But do you know that your children are watching it? Your children are watching a man hit a woman in the mouth. Nobody says a peep about it. Wonder how many had a sermon at your church about it, right? Created in the image of God, male and female, created in them. No. See, the church won't even hold up the banner. The church can't even decide whether homosex is wrong or right. They can't. They're not going to preach a sermon against it because somebody in the congregation may have a son who has fallen into homosex, and we feel bad about him. But how did it happen, dude? How did it happen? Well, they programmed him in the schools from the time he was that high. But he came to church. Went to youth group. And in the meantime, when he's not in a church youth group, he's got his face buried in this thing. Who knows what he's listening to? Who knows who's influencing him? And his salt has lost its savor. It's good for nothing. Jesus said it. I didn't say that. It's had to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And I was thinking today, I was going to do a show today on two great, great lies that I see. I don't know if I'm going to get to. I'm going to wet your whistle here. By the way, I hope this is why you come here every morning, so that we can dig into the truth. If it ain't true, I don't want to know it. I don't want to know it. And here's what I wrote down today. I'm going to go someplace else first, right? Is the church the body of Christ or the bride of Christ? I'm going to say that again real slow. Is the church the bride of Christ or the body of Christ? Because it matters. And I don't know if you know this, in your church, they're telling you different things. It's the bride of Christ when they want it to be, and it's the body of Christ when they don't want it to be. And we are trying to identify the body of Christ, calling it she. Come on now. Come on, coach. You're poking too hard. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The body of Jesus Christ. His body is a she? Oh, no, Coach Dave, no, Coach. Somehow she becomes the bride of Christ. So Jesus marries what? Jesus marries the bride. It's his body? I'm not going to get into it yet. Some of you are already a little bit nervous. I'm going to tell you. We've been taught a lot of stuff that isn't true. It's called denominationalism. Belief, 40-some thousand denominations. Okay, I'm going to get off. Stephanie just sent me a text here. Hang on, Stephanie. Let me read what it says. Yeah, she gave me thumbs up. Thumbs up. I'm going to tell you. I don't know the truth, but I know a lot of things that aren't true. Okay, so hang on. I figured I was going to open with this. Stop. I just looked at my notes here. For those of you who don't know, our dear friend Mike Blake and his wife Bonnie. Mike just retired. And he and Bonnie went on a trip out west. And in the middle of the night, the other night, out west, I think, where are they? And all those places run together to me. In South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, one of those places out there. Sorry, Mike. Well, in the middle of the night, Bonnie didn't feel well and got up to go to do whatever, get up. And Mike was asleep and didn't hear anything until Bonnie, boom, hit the ground, hit the floor. And he heard it and he got up. And of course, she was, I would assume, unconscious or at least groggy, didn't know where she was. And they're out in the middle of nowhere. He calls a squad. And if I understand it, it took the emergency squad almost an hour to get to him. They're that far out. And an hour to get to the hospital. And she had the, what do they call it? I don't want to call it oblation, but they go in the arteries and check what's going on. She had a blocked artery and they unblocked and put a stent in, and she's okay now. But I think Bonnie is alive today only by the grace of God. And I was thinking about Mike as I got up this morning. What would it be like, friends, to be eight? I checked because I was going to jump in my car and drive out and sit with him. It's 18 hours to get out there. So he's 18 hours from home. And his wife almost died, and up there, but for the grace of God, we appreciate it. So just keep encouraging Mike and Bonnie. We thank God that she's okay. And I'm wondering, this is pretty bold, I'm going to ask. I told Mike, said, Mike, listen, I'll fly out and drive home with you. Put Bonnie on a plane, fly her home, and I'll fly out and drive home with you. It's 18 hours. You can't drive that alone. Haven't heard back from Mike, but I'm willing to do that. And maybe if some of you kick in $20 and not yet, buy me a plane ticket. Ron, we'll go out there and help Mike get home. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. A lot of good stuff going on. So those of you who didn't know about that, that's amazing. So I was sitting around. This song popped. I'd never heard this song. Written in 1988. Called Everybody Knows. Everybody Knows. It was written by a guy named Cohen. What was his name? What'd you say up there? Leonard Cohen. Put it at 1.25 speed. This was written in 1988. I rarely miss things. And hey, friends, this is where we are. Let me back this up. Can I say this? The church knows. The church knows. The church knows what's going on. Wait a minute. Those who are born again of the Spirit of God, they know what's going on. Are they telling anybody? We're just hiding it inside the four walls of our churches, praying for the eastern sky to split so we'll get out of here, watching what's going on. We know Kamala Harris has no business being president. We know that. They've known for 2 years that Joe Biden was incapable. They know it. They're robbing us with our income tax. We know that. They're giving away money. They're printing money. There's no value to the dollar. There's not anything real. We all know it. You know it. I know it. Banks are crashing. Why are the banks crashing? Dollar's no good. You know it. We know it. Come on. We know it. Everybody knows it. Why is it that we are habitually living a lie? So Leonard Cohen wrote this back in 1988, and I put the lyrics up on here. Because, man, this is so true. Go ahead and play that. Everybody knows.
That the dice are loaded, everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling.
nothing like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose.
Because everybody knows.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows.
Amen.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Church knows.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes.
Everybody knows.
And everybody knows that it's now or never.
Yes, sir.
Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, when you've done a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through, from the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Oh, everybody.
Everybody. Is that ever true, huh? And let me double back, folks. Let me double back. Because the Christians know. See, the Christians know. And what is it the Christians know? The Christians know that this, that judgment is coming, this thing's winding down. But instead of trying to put a thumb in the dike, the Christians are hiding, swimming in the hot tub, watching it come apart. Somebody say amen, because that's a great illustration. Oh. That's a great illustration.
Amen.
I'm okay here. When the party's over, I'll be out here. I'm so God. I'm sorry my neighbors aren't. Sorry my kids aren't. I know they're teaching homosex to my neighbor's kids. But what's that got to do? What's that got to do? So you get it? Do you understand the situation we're in? And that if we were put here to advance a kingdom, that's why we were put here, to advance a kingdom. Let me show you something else here. I bet you didn't know. Maybe some of you did. Maybe you didn't. Pull up the email about the Wizard of Oz. Did you guys ever know the symbology of the Wizard of Oz? I did, and I'd forgotten it. I came across this yesterday. And ask if it's apropos today. The straw man represents the fictional, all caps, legal fiction. You guys all know about that, right? All the capital letters on your birth certificate. So that's a straw man. The person, the tin man, can make us a little smaller, Jared, Spencer. So I can't see the whole thing. I'm sorry. There you go. The person, he wanted a brain The straw man wanted a brain, but he got a certificate. Do you remember that? You remember at the end of the show when he goes to the wizard? What does the wizard give him? Does he give him a brain? No, he gives him a certificate, a birth certificate. The tin man, by the way, tin, T-I-N, taxpayer identification number. The tin man was a robotic avatar who worked tirelessly until his body literally froze up and stopped functioning. The heartless and emotionless robot creature who worked himself to death because he had no heart or soul. Is that the American worker? Is that what they're doing to the American worker, making them a tin man? The cowardly lion was a bully, but he was actually a true coward when anybody stood up to him, like most bullies. He lacked courage. And in the end, the wizard gave him an official recognition award, authority, and status. See, the cowardly lion never ever was brave. He was just given a certificate that said he was. Sort of like playing Little League Baseball where everybody gets a trophy. You don't have to say amen.
Boom.
And the Wizard of Oz used magic, smoke, flames, holograms, but it was all tricks and illusions to push fear and compliance. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It was used to push fear and compliance to make people do what he commanded. The truth is, the wizard has no real power and only uses illusions to create false poverty and authority. Say, Coach, this is good. Coach, this is really, really good. I watched The Wizard of Oz. Oh, I never realized this is what it was about. What did the Wicked Witch do? Well, she pushed fear through intimidation. She was after Toto and controlled the Flying Monkey Police, who were the policy enforcers, the mischievous demons, who also represented the BAR, the B-A-R Association, who attacked and controlled all of the little people for the great crown wizard, the crooked bankers of Oz, ounces obsessed with gold, ounce, Oz, ounce. But in the field, there were poppies. See, they were not real humans. So drugs had no effect on them. But Dorothy was drugged. Yeah, Dorothy was drugged, didn't she? She laid down in those poppy fields, fell asleep. She's drugged. In the field of the poppies, they were not real humans. So drugs had no effect on them. But Dorothy, she was drugged. You see, The Wizard of Oz was written at the time when Rockefeller and the big pharma began to take over medicine and education. The Crown was actually the largest drug dealer. And after their takeover of drug distribution in China, the Crown began to expand drug distribution all across the world. Toto was what the Wicked Witch was really after. Toto in Latin means in total. Toto exposed the Wizard of Oz and had no fear, despite being very small compared to the great wizard. So no one noticed Toto. He went and pulled the curtain back, remember? And no fear, went and pulled the curtain. Toto pulled the curtain on the wizard and on his magical scheme. Pay no attention to the man beyond, right? Curtain also means the end of an act or the end of a scene. So Toto pulled the curtain into the scene and started barking until others paid attention. Hypothetically, Toto gave everybody the red pill. The curtain hid the corporate legal fiction and its false courts. So no matter how small your bark is, it can be heard.
Boom.
So start barking. Is that cool, huh? Do you guys know that? Got the Wizard of Oz. Oz represent an ounce, gold, silver. Dude.
Coach,
everybody knows. Everybody knows. Come on in.
Let me add a little something to that, man. It just dawned on me after you revealed. I never realized that Oz meant ounce. Okay. I mean, I know it's for ounces, but I never put two and two together on the title. But then it dawned on me, okay, the Yellow Brick Road, which is a road of gold.
That's
right. The song. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the money. Follow the money.
Because it leads you to Oz, right? The money leads you to Oz. The ounce. Real money. Real money. Oh, man, this is something, isn't it? Huh? So this is what we see, folks. This is what we're dealing against. This is the wrestling not against flesh and blood that we're talking about. And we have made a Christianity. I want to make sure I say this right. We've made it personal, and it is. Praise God that Christianity is personal. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that Christianity is personal. But Christianity is also, I don't want to use the term global, but Christianity is universal. Christianity is about the establishment of a kingdom, a universal. And so when you become a Christian, yes, you get the benefits of the covering of God. Yeah, you're in his kingdom. Yes, you're under his, Psalm 91, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. But why? Why does a football player put on equipment? Why don't they just play football without helmets and without shoulder pads? Well, you can't play it without helmets and shoulder pads because somebody is going to get hurt. So when you put on the football uniform, it represents, in the physical sense, the full armor of God to protect you from what? The wiles of the devil, from the other guy who's trying to knock your helmet off. It protects you from that. That is, folks, that's the full armor of God. The full armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You gird your loins with truth. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Carry the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Why? Because you are in a war. And it's not just a defensive war where we can't come back and catch all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's part of it. That's what the shield of faith does. It catches the fiery darts of the wicked one. But you got a sword. What's the sword about? Sword's an offensive weapon. And the church has lost the offensive weapon, unless we're talking about personal things, right? Yes, Jesus and the angels, yeah, coach, they're there to guard you and guide you, keep you safe. Well, what about expanding a kingdom? Am I supposed to be expanding a kingdom? Does anybody know the Lord's Prayer? I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place today, but this is good. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, just in my life, in my family, in our church body, and just all those people that we love. No? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth? I'm supposed to bring the kingdom of God here? That's not what my pastor told me. My pastor told me we're getting out of here. We're supposed to, what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Please take me to heaven. No. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forget of our debtors. Why? Because you can't be carrying around trespasses and debts and be effective in the fight. Forgive us that, Lord. Keep us free. And by the way, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Which kingdom? The one that's coming. The one that we're supposed to have here on earth. By the way, the kingdom of God is within you. Boy, I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. Kingdom of God isn't someplace you go to. It's someplace that lives in you. You rule and reign everywhere you go. Why do you rule and reign everywhere you go? Because Jesus Christ rules and reigns everywhere where we go. And he who is in you, he's in you to be with you, to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And are we supposed to be spending all of our times teaching just the people in the church? No, of course not. Oh, man, I'm all over the place today. And so everything that we see going on, the mess that we see on, when they put a man in the Olympic boxing ring and he punches a woman in the mouth, you better know this. He does that with the approval and the blind eye of the American Christian Church. You understand that? There should have been riots in the streets. But see, we won't riot in the streets because the church won't even stand up at the very beginning when God created them male and female. We won't even defend that anymore, see? So everything we see, they called them the Crusades. You remember the Crusades? They talk about that. Well, what was the Crusades? What were the Crusades? The Crusades were nothing more than the advancement of the kingdom of God by force. That's all the Crusades were. Pull up Crusade. Spencer, go to Webster Minute, Crusade. I don't know if you guys are saying, oh me or oh my, it's really quiet today. A crusade, a military expedition undertaken by Christians for the recovery of the Holy Land, the scene of our Savior's life and sufferings from the power of infidels. Hey, folks, are the infidels in power in America or are God's people suffering for recovery of the Holy Land, the scene of our Savior's life and sufferings from the power of infidels or Mohammedans? Several of those expeditions were carried on from Europe under the banner of the cross from which the name originated. Crusade, cross, advancement of a kingdom. And what are we doing now? We trying to advance a kingdom? Heck no. We've given over the kingdom. We want to go to the king. Okay, I got it, Lord. I got it. If I can tie all this together, I'm going to be an unbelievable guy. Because I know what the Lord told me. I know what the Lord told me.
Keep going.
I am. Are there people in heaven right now? Where do you go when you die? People in heaven? Pull up number 3. And then go at the very end. Pull up number 3 and go to the very down near the bottom. Are there people in heaven right now? Hey, hang on. Stop a minute. What have you been taught? People in heaven right now? You die, you go to heaven? Keep going. Go clear on down. Here we go. I'm going to work from the bottom up. Okay, so here are the questions that are answered in this commentary. Okay, Spencer, go up one more little thing. There you go. Okay, keep going. There you go. Okay, are there people in heaven right now? Here's a complete set of facts that this guy presents. This is at the end of the article. He says, here's what you should have learned in this article. And then the beginning of the article, I'm going to put it in the chat, explains every one of these things, okay? All right? We still going to be friends when this is over? Everybody say, yeah, Coach, we'll still be friends. Give me a thumbs up. Everybody say, Coach, yeah, well, my uncle Billy Bob didn't tell me this, and Pastor Tommy Toes didn't teach me this. And I've been in my whole family's been in that church for 220 years. I never knew that one, Coach. We still going to be friends? Okay.
Hallelujah.
Are there people in heaven? You want to know the truth or not? You want to know the truth? Here are the proofs that this guy gives to these questions. He answers them at the beginning of the article. Are you with me? Okay, so here we go. Man is not immortal. God alone is. 2, man is not composed of spirit, but rather of flesh. Spirit, soul, enter man physically. Man is a soul, and a soul is not immortal and therefore dies. So I don't believe that because, well, the proof's in the pudding at the beginning. This is what this article will tell you. He'll show you. The case for soul sleep has clearly been established. What do you mean, Coach? What do you mean by soul sleep? Well, my brother just died. Is my brother Dan in heaven? Or is he asleep? What did they say about Lazarus? When they went to wake Lazarus, what did they say? Jesus said, well, he's just sleeping. No, he's just asleep. Is there time in life outside this realm? I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue it. These are questions that there's a lot of debate about, okay? The case for soul, I'm sorry. When a man dies, he ceases to exist. In that instance, his thoughts perish. Folks, they have spiritual confirmation of everything I'm reading to you right now. Man does not go to heaven at the moment of his death. You can say all you want to that he's in a better place. He may be in a better place, and he may be in the presence of God, but he ain't in heaven. Oh, man, I don't have time to do all this. You do a little bit of homework today. When a man dies, he goes nowhere but to the silence of the grave. Folks, spiritual support at the beginning of the article. He supports every one of these arguments. You say, yeah, but that isn't what Pastor Joe told me. Well, where'd Pastor Joe learn it? When a man dies, he goes nowhere but into the silence of the grave. No man has ever gone to heaven. That's what the great white throne judgment's all about, folks. Aside from what scripture tells us, no man knows what heaven looks like. No man has ever seen God. And they have the spirit, scriptural references to every one of these things. Some of you getting mad at me, calling me a heretic. No man has ever seen God. Aside from what scripture tells us, no man even knows what heaven looks like. No man. So, oh yeah, my uncle had a near-death experience. Oh, well, good, good, good. So he had some type of experience. All right, I get it. Every man that has ever lived and died is still in the grave to this very day. The body's still there. God planned it where no man can go to heaven alone. We all go together. At that great getting up morning, we all go to heaven at the same time. Some of you getting nervous? Some of you getting nervous? You better understand this. Time does not exist outside of the realm that we're in. Where God is, there is no time. Do you understand that? There is no time. So day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day, because time is only measured in this realm where there's the sun and the moon and you get it? So for to say that, you mean my uncle's still not with, there ain't no time where he is. Oh, man. No one can go to heaven until Jesus returns, period. No one knows the day or the hour of Christ's return. We must be watchful. And I'm sorry, but there are no people in heaven right now. Now, go back, scroll up to the top. And I'm going to show you what this does. Don't put it in the chat because I'm not going to take you through it. Now, time out. Ref, time out. I don't know, because I've been taught some of this stuff too. I don't know. It's why the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you say, well, coach, I know it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, you better check out what he said. So here are the 9 Bible witnesses, and I'm not going to go through it now, but this is worth your time. Scroll down, Spence, real quickly, slowly. Go down through this. So here we go, the participating 9 Bible witnesses, the Apostle John, the Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, Timothy, Paul's companion, King David, Solomon, Ezekiel, Moses, Jesus Christ, will answer all of those questions. And he does, which we just went over. Okay, I'm going to shut up, huh? Does this stir your Christianity at all? It stirs mine. I could never figure out. I did a lot of things I could never figure out. I was just taught. And I believed it. Somebody come on in and fight with me. Come on. Well, you can't fight with me because I'm not really taking a position. I really don't know. But I do know that a lot of stuff they told me, maybe isn't true. Wait a minute. Jesus, when he raised Lazarus, Martha and Mary, I think it was, came to him and said, Jesus, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. What did Jesus say? Chill. He ain't dead. Only sleeping. Yes or no? And Jesus said, roll away the stone. What'd he say? Hey, Lazarus! Come here! Did Jesus bring him back from that? Oh, man, the stuff they've taught us, we just don't know. That's why I love this show. Now, here's what's really good. You don't have to agree with me. You really don't. And we can still be friends. But if you will do a deep dive into some of these things, you're going to find out, dude, I don't know about that anymore. I don't know about this. All I know this is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know what that means. I don't know if I'm going to be up and running around saying hi to my mom and dad, my aunt, my uncle. I don't know. I don't know that. I just know this, that he said to the thief on the cross, this day you will be with me in paradise. He didn't tell him what condition he would be in. He didn't tell him if he would be awake and whether he'd be walking around and seeing everybody. He just said, don't worry, dude. I got you covered. I got you covered. You're going to be where I am. All right? Got you covered here. Wow. I feel lonely this morning. Somebody come on in. Come on. Somebody come in. Thank you, Johnny. Good, me, man. I never seen anything like this, Johnny. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, good morning, you guys. You know, I think about what you were talking about with there is no time, because eternity is just the truth. So there's nothing else but just the truth. So there's no time. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well,
but
Johnny, how about this? Is it really a past, Johnny? I mean, did you left home maybe yesterday. Did you really? I mean, is it really history of that? Time has passed. Where did time go if it passed, Johnny?
Yep, like God is. God is, and that's it.
God ain't past. God ain't was. God ain't going to be. God is ever present now. Now, right? And so I think we all have a trouble. We all have a hard time explaining this time-space continuum that we find ourselves in. And so we just try in our own little natural mind, try to figure out what it would be like. We know this, that if I get in my car and I drive 15 miles, I go somewhere. I know that. I'm not where I was. I could be in Montana. I understand that. So when you die, you have to go someplace, don't you? You have to go somewhere. In our mind, that's what we can see. What if heaven's ready? What if it's right around us? Right? If, I don't know. Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. David Langford did a teaching on this, and you've pointed out before, and it's sometimes it's right there in front of us. We just can't see it, especially when in Revelation it talks about I seen the body of the bride of Christ, and I seen the new Jerusalem coming down. And why does God make a new heaven and a new earth? Why does he make a new earth? If there's not going to be anybody here, why would he bother making a new earth? And so I think that in itself is an indicator that we may have missed something very critical. And yeah, so you're right. Once you get studying it and looking at what the word says, and believe me, I've been part of, you know, I feel bad because I think I was part of the deception, and I had a misconception of what eternity might look like. And we sing all those songs, everybody will be happy over there, and we get to the other, that golden shore, and I'm going to wear a robe and crown. It's all this good stuff. But Fred Sanford said one thing one time. He was sick, and he told Lamont, I don't want to go to, he was sick, and he said, I don't want to go to sleep because I don't want to wake up dead. And when I think about that, what a tragedy that would be, that if we do just go to sleep and we do wake up and we find out that we're dead in our sins, we've never really entered in the kingdom, entered into the kingdom of God. And so it's a humble.
Folks, I don't mind being proven wrong. I don't mind if something's not true. I'm glad that somebody shows me it's not true. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hey, you know, this is really just very simple, but you know me, I'm a pretty simple person. But, you know, when I think about, I used to go by the, you know, well, you go by the cemeteries and you see all the markers and the flags and the flowers. And I'm like, why do people even do that? They're not there, you know? But now it gives me a better understanding why people go to and they mark, and maybe they really do believe they're just laying there sleeping, waiting for him to wake up, like your child in a coma. You keep believing, right. You keep going back. You keep, you know, you want them to wake up out of that coma, right? So anyhow, okay, well, thanks.
Okay, so fit, pull up for me, Spence. I'm just asking the questions. Because your friends are going to say, you better stay away from that coach. He's preaching a different thing. No. I ask questions here. I never tell you what you believe. I told you a million times. I don't even know what I believe. Randy, hang on there with me a second. Pull up for me number two. Number two. 15 biblical facts about heaven and the city of God. This is another one you got to read yourself. I'm not going to take time to do it. We're used to hearing about heaven as a happy place where we go when we die. Most people hear about heaven in a few contexts. It's where good, faithful people go when they die, they're dead. It's where we see departed loved ones again. It's where God is. We said, I've always found that kind of fascinating. As a kid, it sounded like a boring place, endless choir practice. It sure beat the alternative. And a few Sunday school lessons, sermon, opening jokes, and a Ray Bolt song got the idea in my head that heaven was a place with streets of gold. And when I asked about what heaven was like, I was directed to the last two chapters of Revelation. But it didn't take long for me to catch this phrase at the beginning of Revelation: a new heaven and a new earth. Huh? And then John the Revelator describes a city called the New Jerusalem. What the heck is a new Jerusalem? Is that heaven? Why would the new Jerusalem get called heaven? Turns out that while people describe heaven in Christian culture today, they're usually referring to the new Jerusalem that John sees in the book of Revelation. That's heaven, a new Jerusalem. So scroll down. This is really good, dude. Put it in the chat. Keep going. It's all good. I'm not going to take time to read it. Well, I hope I'm not. Keep going. Hope I'm not shaking your theology too badly today. I'm just asking the questions. So what's the city of God like? It's called the New Jerusalem, right? The city of Jerusalem was just, the old one was destroyed in 70 AD by Titus, and the book of Revelation was written after that took place. So it's a new city. It's a holy place. Number three, it comes down out of heaven. We don't go there. It comes down. Oh, holy means set apart for a special purpose. The city is different from any city John had ever seen. It comes down out of heaven. We don't go there. Go on down. Keep going. Keep going. I'm running out of time. It's prepared. You already got reservations. It's prepared for you. It's God's dwelling place among heavens. What is the new Jerusalem that's coming down? We don't go to heaven. Heaven comes to us. You get it, folks? You get it? It's God's dwelling place among humans, where we're going to all live and rule. He's going to rule and reign. There will be no more death, no more mourning, or no pain. Where? In the new Jerusalem, this new kingdom that's coming down. He told us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Bring it down. It's the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ, not meaning the church, but the fellowship of the believers, all believers. Now, I could get into the bride of Christ thing. I'm not going to do that here this morning, right? It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's when God supernaturally is reunited with his fellow people. It's a marriage. It's a marriage, it's a license, it's a contract. It shines with the glory of God. It's the ultimate temple. It has 12 gates, 12 angels. The gates feature the names of the 12 tribes. The foundations feature the name of the 12 apostles. It's 12,000 stadia long and high. It's like 2.7 cubic feet. It has walls 144 cubits thick. Wow. Huh? Keep going. Keep going. There's 15 of them. Think. There's no temple. Ain't no temple there, boys and girls. We're the temple. We're the temple. He's the temple. We're the temple. The New Jerusalem leads the other nations. Nothing impure enters. This new kingdom, it's coming. It's coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. It's not a bride. That's a simile, as, like, as, an intimacy between God and his church. The church isn't a woman. And there's a river of life flowing down the streets where the tree of life is. Daggone, put that in the chat. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Randy, come on in.
Well, Coach, I think it's great you're challenging the narrative because it is wrong. It's been wrong for a long time. But because, okay, we could go a million directions, but I'll put one in there, okay? But one question we got to answer is what happens to our spirit, okay, when we die? So where is it? Does it lay there too? So but here, Coach, one thing to think about is that we know that the tree of life is for the healing of the nations, right?
Yes.
So if this is all in heaven, which it's not, is the nations all going to be moved from the earth to heaven so they can be healed? No. No, that's foolish. The earth is a God's his plan. He's bringing heaven down to the earth, Coach. It's obvious. Anybody that will study it will see this. So the nations, what did Jesus say? He said, go teach the nations. It's a process. It takes time. They're bringing the nations under the rule of Christ. That's Amen. What discipleship does. That's what the kingdom of God does. So, yeah, it takes a long time. It's taken a while. It took 4,000 years from Adam to Christ. I mean, God is not, he's not limited by time. That's not a problem with him. So if it's 2,000, 3,000 years, whatever years it is from Christ until the earth becomes his. But if you read Romans chapter 8, Coach, it's, the Holy Spirit's mentioned like 20 times in one chapter, and there's nothing like it in the whole New Testament. And what does it say? It says that God, the sons of God, the manifest sons of God, are what is going to loose the creation on earth. That started with the first generation after Jesus. It started with the time of the apostles. So I finally woke up in my life that, hey, I'm a son.
That's right.
My son, I'm loose of the creation as I bring truth, as we displace darkness with the kingdom of God. What are we doing, Coach? We're bringing the creation back under the rule of God, under
the whole creation.
He wants the earth back, Coach.
Of the sons of God, right?
He wants the whole creation growing.
That's right, man. Oh, my goodness. Hang on a second, because a question came up. Spencer, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, if you would, real quickly. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God's the spirit's life, folks. The spirit returns to God who gave it. He is life. Boom. Gino. Can't hear you, bud. You're muted. Still can't hear you. What's going on?
Keep
Somebody
going.
Help Gene. I don't know, Gene. What's something wrong with your mic, Gene? They said, see if you can doodle with it a second. Alan Zeifer, come on in. Can't hear you, Gene.
Hey, Coach, go to Matthew 27.
Matthew 27.
So just the scripture you just read there when Solomon said the spirit goes back to God who gave it. That happened. Everything changed. We know this. Everything changed when they killed the king. When they killed Jesus, everything changed.
Amen.
And when you read those two verses right there, you see how everything did change. Read those two verses there, 27.
1 and 2?
No, Matthew 27, verse 52 and 53.
All right, 52 and 53. Scroll on down there, Spence. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept, arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Boom, there it is, Alan. There.
Everything changed, Coach. That's why the devil was so mad. Everything changed. And, you know, people saw, and here's what's amazing. Whoever it was, Moses or whoever was walking around, the people that were alive at that time, they knew who they were. They knew who these folks were. And they were walking around. People like, what in the world's going on? These guys are dead, and all of a sudden they're all gone. Well, when Paul said to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, and then it says us that's alive on the earth, he said, and that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So we know that everything changed at the cross. When they killed the Son of Glory, everything changed for all eternity for everyone that believes.
So let me ask you this question, folks. I don't know about you guys. I slept like a rock last night. Really went to bed early and woke up relatively early. I don't know about you. Does anybody know? Can anybody prove that there was a passage of time while I slept? I laid my head down at It was like 8:45 last night. 8:45, and the next thing I know, it's 5 a.m. Was there really any time? Can you guys prove there was time there? The time actually passed there? Where did I go during that period of time? Where did I go? I was right there. I was asleep. I hate to tell you this. So Jesus said happens. Many of the bodies would sleep. Gino, try it again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Going back to where do we go, nobody brought up the parable of the rich man and the poor man. There's a description there. We're not in heaven. We're not in hell yet.
But that's right.
There has been no judgment, but there is a holding place.
There's a gulf for sure, too, isn't it, right?
And there's a gulf between the two. Exactly.
Amen. Now, hang on, folks. Do we know whether that was an alliteration? In other words, was it a story that God was telling us to explain the two places? Are those guys really alive? Or is he just trying to explain to us the two separations? That's a good question in itself. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, you know, you're talking this morning, losing the salt. So as the churchgoers sit around and don't understand anything, all they're doing is waiting to go to heaven. Popped up on my phone this morning, a picture of Olin Tanji School, and it says, a judge just ruled that the schools can punish children that misgender other students.
I saw that.
They can punish them. It's like, what are we doing? But they said, well, we're just going to send our kids in there so they can be the salt and light. Oh, my goodness.
Right? And the church aren't rising up, right? So now children can be punished if they call her him, even though he's a him. Silence of the truth. Let me get some tape and put it over our mouth. Keith.
You talk about missing time. I don't know where last Wednesday went.
What do you mean?
It just disappeared.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing, huh? Time. What is time? What is time? I was telling this to Michelle the other day. Can you believe that you're me? I'm talking about 71 years old. And then somebody, Susie, my brother's wife, my late brother's wife, gave Michelle a newspaper clipping, 1984, when Heath had just beaten Newark Catholic. And there was my picture, and there was the article that Dan had clipped out of the paper. And did that really happen? October 1st, 1984. Did we really beat Newark Catholic? And it's amazing how all of a sudden in my mind, when I began to think about it, I could remember Doug Schmidt returning a punt, or returning a kickoff for a touchdown, and Mike Bell running that slant for a touchdown, and Dante Jose. I could remember the plays. Where is that? Where is that? Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I think I forgot what I was going to say. I'll hold it until after the show, Coach.
That's all right. I don't know about you guys. I would miss this show if it was me. I would miss it because every day when the show's over, I'm scratching my head. Say, wow. and in what they taught me.
Boom.
See you tomorrow.